This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald. Here's a segment from our show, Kelly and Company, that airs weekdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
Remember, if you're looking for any TV content that's available in Describe Video, this is what you have to do. Go to AMI.ca/DV Guide. Enter in your postal code to find out what's showing in your area today, Saturday, whenever it might be. You can enter that information in as well at AMI.ca/DV Guide. Kelly McDonald here with Ramya Muthan, my co-host. And once a month, we like to take a voice that you know from the network. Most cases, that's what we do. And we love to bring them on the program to share with us a little bit about some of the things that we may not know about this person or anything that maybe they're talking about, one of their passions, a drive that they find important. But joining us today to have that kind of conversation with us is Ryan Huey, our Friday contributor who talks all things audiobooks on the program. We call it the Chatty Bookshelf. Ryan, welcome back. Nice to have you with us.
Hey guys, thanks for having me. As always, love coming on the show and chatting with you guys.
Well, we tap into you once a week on the show. We've had you recently on for collections and hobbies, so why not bring you over to Voices? And kind of when I asked you if you'd come on board, there was a bit more of a purpose of things that are going on currently that maybe you might want to sit down and kind of share with our audience. So let's start with your volunteer work with Diabetes Canada.
Sure. Good starting place. I'm very, very passionate. As practically a lifelong diabetic. I was 7 years old. I got diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. And I was kind of the only kid around that had it. And growing up with it, it was interesting because my friends, they all thought like, oh, he's so cool. He gets to eat peanut butter sandwiches on the hockey bench. Well, it's like we didn't really realize how serious it was, right? So I'd like to give back to all the doctors, the nurses, and everybody that kind of have helped me along the way, because I mean, it's changed so much since the beginning till now. And even now, the treatment and everything is changing. So I'm a big volunteer for them. I love to do any campaigns that they're associated with. I'm doing the Lace Up fundraiser. I'm going to be running 10 kilometers in the month of September, but I want to do it all at once. Nice. I don't want to do 1 kilometer one day. I want to do it like a real 10-kilometer race, even if that's me on the treadmill. So I'm doing that. If you guys want to be part of my team, you can donate or you can't donate. You know, you don't have to. You can just be a part of it, cheer me on, watch me pant on the treadmill as I, you know, might collapse. But yeah, you know what? It's worth it. That's one big thing. And then we also have our type 1 diabetes conference coming up. And this is really cool because it's a $20 fee for anyone who's attending. And it's online, but what it is, it's all kinds of health stuff. It's experts talking mental health. It's experts talking healthy eating, exercise, all kinds of different things. And yes, it is geared to those with type 1, type 2, or pre-diabetes, but there's no reason that everyone can't incorporate these into their lives if that's what they're wishing to do, right? So I'm on the panel for that, and we're sort of just working through getting guest speakers, getting all kinds of sponsors and everything in order. So I get fired up when I start talking about this stuff.
It's so cool. I mean, I love the Lacing Up for Diabetes event as well. I love how flexible you're being with it, and I guess them overall and team. But it's really nice that you're kind of have this passion towards helping it with the specific cause. It's, you know, you sound really, really involved, and we'll get more about why that is, or you know, your own journey with diabetes if you're willing to share. But do you want to talk to us about this accessible pump?
This is one of my favorite things. I hate that we have to do it, so it's kind of bittersweet, but it's really one of my favorite things. So Diabetes Canada, CNIB, and a bunch of other organizations, including the pump manufacturers and even Health Canada, we have had chats with them because right now I don't have very much sight. I have light perception, so I can't see the screen of my pump. So I'm using 11% of my functions of what the pump can actually do. So to put that into perspective for someone that's listening that might have vision or that might not use a pump, let's say I hand you a cell phone and say, okay, here's your cell phone, but all you can do with it is make calls. That's about 11% of what you can do with a smartphone right now. So I can't do the carb counting. I can't do everything. It's a fancy insulin pen, really. It's a fancy syringe that pumps insulin into me all the time right now. But there's so much more that you can do, and there's not an accessible pump on the market. Even to put it into more perspective, when was daylight savings? Like March, I can't change the time by myself. So my pump is currently an hour behind. Not so much of a big difference, oh, wow. But if I travel to, let's say, Hawaii or Europe, none of which are in the cards for me right now, but if I do, that's 6 hours ahead or behind, right? So that really affects your timetable when taking insulin. And if I can't do that, I have to FaceTime someone to help me every 3 days with changing my pump. So it's something that we're really pushing for, to say, hey, look, there's, make an app, make this, we're not asking you to take all the pumps off the market. Mm-mm. Let's just move forward and make an accessible one from here on out. And so many people just in Canada or even worldwide are affected by vision loss that do have diabetes, that it's something that's really important. It's really long overdue, right,
Ryan? I've heard this problem for I don't know how long.
And you know what? I think the approach was, it's a niche market. Well, let's not make the accessibility just for those folks with a vision impairment. Let's make it accessible for everybody, right? So maybe seniors that can see, let's have big buttons, or let's do something a little bit different, right? Because I mean, the pumps keep getting smaller and smaller. Let's keep them the same size, and let's implement some sort of voiceover or something, right? Because even when you look at your smartphone, if you're a person that doesn't use the accessibility options, they're running in the background. You just might not know that they're there. So let's turn that's a pump into something like that.
Well, especially when you talk something that's for people's health, like to hear, oh, it's a niche market. Living is a niche market. Okay. Mm-hmm. Maybe things that are out there, Ryan, like you say, let's get together with everybody and try to, work these things out. There's a national strategy, too, that you mentioned to me is being proposed. Can that assist with things like this? And what is it?
So yes and no. The national strategy is really cool. Diabetes Canada has been fighting for years and years and years. And kudos goes out to Kim Hansen, this one of the CEOs and executive director of Diabetes Canada, because they actually got the bill to pass just a few weeks ago. So part of this, and I don't understand completely the entire bill, but part of this looks at healthcare as a provincial kind of jurisdiction, right? But with diabetes, they want to have a national landscape. So someone that lives in Winnipeg doesn't necessarily have the same coverage as someone that lives in Vancouver or someone that lives in Ontario. Different provinces have different coverages, and some things are covered and some things aren't when it comes to diabetes testing supplies, pumps. Here in Ontario, the pumps are funded through our good friends at ADP, whereas in other provinces, they don't have an ADP. So who pays for their pumps? Because they're not cheap. So part of that is that, and they've gotten Sonia Sidhu, one of the MPs, is really on board, and I love following her tweets, and she's really really a go-getter, and she gets after it with Kim, and they're doing some fantastic work on this. I can't wait to see what this holds in the future for some of our littler ones that unfortunately have diabetes.
Yeah, it really is. As I said, you have a personal journey with diabetes, right? And specifically diabetes and vision loss as well. And if you feel like sharing any of that journey with us, do you mind? Because as you pointed out, you're very passionate about this and you do a lot of work with diabetes.
Of course, but I hope HarperCollins or like Houghton Mifflin's listening. We can franchise this into an audiobook.
Heck yeah!
then we can have the author on Chatty Bookshelf. But no, I'm really open about this part. But I have to be cautious, because when I talk to parents about it, I don't want their minds to automatically go to, oh my goodness, my little girl has diabetes and she's going to go blind. That's not what I want, and that's sort of the fear that comes into my story. My story is not like most, and I know everybody says that about their vision loss, but 9 years ago, I drove home completely fine, wearing glasses to read and to see the signs at night. And the next morning I woke up and unfortunately couldn't see. And it sort of happened overnight, whereas, my eye condition is diabetic retinopathy, where it's sort of a gradual, in most people, it's kind of a gradual thing. Mine all my blood vessels kind of decided to die overnight, and they crushed my retinas and detached them. So I do have, I was lucky enough to have some surgery to repair my retinas, and they are kind of connected back together. But if you picture hand soap that you wash your hands with, that's sort of what's in my eye wrapped around my retinas, and that's what's holding them in place. But it's not helping my vision. It's just helping my retinas kind of thing, right? So it's sort of an unusual circumstance. And now with a little one, and I don't want anything like this to happen to her. So I'm so happy that Diabetes Canada is working tirelessly at this Diabetes 365 or 360, and I can't thank them enough for all the work that they do. So that's part of why I volunteer for them, because it's, you know what, I change diet, not to eliminate. So I'm really happy with the way that things have gone just over the course of even the last 10 years.
So wonderful, Ryan. I want to jump over to something that I've been, you know, as we've had you on the program, we've seen this evolve. We've talked about it and the benefits it's done in different ways to the disabled community. But really, your work and what you do for us on the show with the Chatty Bookshelf really require a social media presence. And I'm kind of curious if you can talk a little bit about what that has done when it comes to bringing guests on our show, when it comes to reaching out to people here and following the people that you've mentioned and things like that. How important has it become in your life, and what are your feelings about it?
Absolutely. So, I mean, you think about even like science and stuff, you know, there's always good uses and bad uses. And I actually think that with social media, this is one of the better uses of it, is to reach out to people that you might not have a connection with really ever in life. I mean, I never would have thought that, you know, Jonathan Mayberry, one of my favorite authors, would be tweeting at me, you know, just because he liked my review of his book or whatever, right? So it really makes things easier to sort of connect with people that have read well. Windsor, the difference, right? Hey, I read your book. This is what I do. Do you want to talk about it? You know, and people are more often than not kind, and they say they'll respond back, even if they're not interested. You know what? Maybe not now. Let's reconnect in 6 months. And you just keep following them, because it takes a second to follow someone on Twitter. It's one click of the, or one double tap, right? So it's really, really great to just use overall, right? And like I said, there's good parts and there's bad parts about the social media. I just try to keep my nose clean as much as possible, and you know, only follow the authors, the narrators, the publishers, the audiobook groups that I know and that I enjoy posting in. And you know what, it's a great community that also really helps. They're very, very helpful out there.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, I'm glad you said something about keeping your nose clean, because you can really get caught up in the drama of social media sometimes too, right? We talk about that all the time with the anonymities and being able to say what you want or follow the things that aren't always great vibes, but everything that, you know, you bring to the table on the Chatty Bookshelf, or the different connections that you make and you share and network, that stuff is the real positive connecting through social media.
No, I thank you for saying that, but I agree with you. You know, there's always, you know, someone told me when I was little, you know, you catch more flies with honey, right? So it's always better to be a little bit more polite, right? And I think part of the problem, and I don't have the answer to this, but when it comes to social media, is there's no accountability. You can post whatever you want, and a million people will see it in what, 30 seconds? And then it's like, you can't take that back, but it's like, you put this thought out there and now the world can read it, and all you wanted to do was stir the pot, and you're definitely doing it when there's 50,000 responses and they're all not, you know, airworthy, right? You need the censorship out and stuff. So it's there's really that fine line, right? So you just gotta, just be nice to people and they'll be nice back is kind of the approach I take on social media. And know what? The worst thing they can say to you is no, or not respond to you, right? So I reach out to everybody, and it only takes a few minutes to post something, but you never know where that can go.
No. With the power of being able to do it comes a great responsibility that a lot of time we forget. I want to touch on your new love to cook. And we have about, you know, a minute and a bit to get into this. What are the favorite items and what brought that on?
You know what? Having Abby around, I can cook the grilled cheese. I can cook the mac and cheese, you know, on the stove, that sort of stuff. But I'm like, man, if I start eating this, I'm going to gain a lot of weight. They're delicious, but I need to start cooking myself healthy meals. So it started with an unorthodox barbecue. And so now I mean, I have a real barbecue, but the way I do things is not ILS approved in most cases, but I love to cook. It's just, you know what, sometimes you get the nicks and scratches and burns, but I will be barbecuing tonight, and I just love to try new things and really get some new recipes under my belt. I don't know if it's companion worthy, but I seem to enjoy it, and Abby hasn't complained a few times, so you know, I'll have to see, have to get an adult over to try it out one time.
What's the favorite thing to barbecue?
I try to keep it easy. Burgers, sausages, hot dogs, things that if you do burn, they're still edible. Whereas if, you know, you overcook a steak, it's like, you know what? I don't know that I could eat that. It's more like eating a leather shoe. So I tend to stick to the easier meats.
I kind of got scared asking you when you started the bumps, bruises, and burns. It's like, now what is this, a four-alarm barbecue? I was like getting a little nervous there, Ryan. Thanks a lot, pal.
Hey, I'm a whirlwind in the kitchen.
Well, Ramya, it's been, you know, we've been talking a lot about barbecuing and you know, kind of thing. It's kind of fun to do, but it does bring some anxiety for some people. So really yes. Wonderful in your situation being able to get into doing it.
And you know what? It can only go up from where I'm at right now. I don't see my cooking getting worse, but thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
That's
well,
a good Ramya's thing.
Well, Ramya's volunteering to be the test adult.
Deal.
I'll bring my own talking thermometer.
Thanks, Rye.
Take care,
Ryan.
Guys.
Huey, he's our host of our Chatty Bookshelf Fridays on the program. Do tune in. Lots of great stuff. He's got a wonderful guest this Friday on the show. Always wonderful when he gets a chance to sit in and chat. We're excited for Ray to join us on the program. We'll take a break, ladies and gentlemen. When we return to Kelly and Company, we will wrap up the program, see what we've got in store for you, and check out Now with Dave Brown. Stand by. You've been listening to Kelly and Company. If you're hooked, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast platform. And be sure to leave us a rating and review. Or you can listen live from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.